And welcome to the Listener's Voices, Episode 2, coming to you live here from the studios of KTWH, co-hosted by myself, Fran Callagher, and Frances Burge.
Hello, morning. Frances.
Yeah, that's Frances. So this is a program inviting responses from listeners to the prompt of the week. And we heard some interesting responses last week to our prompt, what do you think of this exceptional winter, whether for better or worse? And partly because the show was new, people didn't know what was happening, and partly because we're still having a weird winter, we extended this prompt through this episode as well to get some more input on it. And although we will be switching prompts week to week going forth, if you have afterthoughts about this subject, we would invite you to submit your response to this prompt anytime, off into the future too, but we will be shifting gears. To explain briefly, if it's your first time, since last week was the first time we surprised everybody by turning up in this time block, for months, maybe almost 6 months, 4 or 5 months, we'd been running a program from the coast of California, KGUA Writers, in this time frame. And this is what inspired us, that show inspired us to initiate this one. People submit written and recorded responses to their prompt of the week. And at first we thought we'd make it a hybrid show, some of their responses, some of our own responses, but we wanted to do our own prompts from time to time and not cut into their show so much. So we're still working out when we would run the whole hour of KGUA Writers in the original form. It's a small community radio station from Gualala, California, where my co-host has had some experience.
Right? North of San Francisco Bay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mendocino and what did they call it?
Mendonoma. Sonoma, yeah. Mendocino, blended counties.
Okay. And although I believe it's not low power, but they claim to have fewer people in their listener footprint than we do. But they have listeners all over the country, like as we do. So I wanted to give you that background on how this got started. The episode we did live last week, that was with Jane Timke, that is now on our website, ktwh.org. There's a programs drop-down menu across the top, and find your way down that to where it says Listener's Voices, and you can hear that whole episode, about 45 minutes of some recorded responses and some written ones that we read aloud. So also, the KGUA programs you can hear on SoundCloud, they have archived all of theirs there. And I don't know that they've had this particular prompt. they've had their own challenges with weather this winter. They've been assaulted by the atmospheric rivers coming off the Pacific Ocean there. But maybe they'll get to that. Maybe we'll inspire them to take that prompt on.
I'm not so sure that mudslides would be a popular prompt.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to have.
Although we do have a lot of emotion behind what is going on here, and I'm sure what is going on there.
Right. But people are able to interpret what we're going through in different, both positive and negative ways, and that is, right, you're right.
Poetry and...
yes. This week we have some really more creative responses even than last week's. In fact, Frances and I had been talking about how it was a hard subject to be poetic about, the weather. But
and then all of a sudden...
Right. It was about an hour or two later we got our first one in. We'll be reading one, and we'll Frances will read one for us, and we'll play one that was recorded here in the studio. So we have a mix, again, written and recorded. And again, if you are interested in getting on our list to get the prompt going forward, you can send an email to ktwhwriters@gmail.com. Send either your text or a voice memo recorded on a smartphone can be emailed, and then we'll play it directly on the air. So, carrying on. Let's see. I think I'll read some of the written responses. So Richmond is our roving reporter out there. He was with Francis and me last week at the Bayview Terrace Apartments and for a recording session. Yeah, we have one more excerpt from that a little later today. And he also has other friends in the neighborhood, and he got these varying responses to when he posed the question, what do you think of this weird winter? Robert said, not enough snow. That's all I can say. It's too warm. Darius says, I think it's very nice. It's been good weather all week, all winter long. The warmth, it's nice to me. There you go. Then there's Elaine. She says, it's concerning because I wonder what's happening to our world. I'm glad that we didn't have to move snow. It was a break. It's going to be a lot of ticks. There's going to be a lot of ticks.
There's going to be a lot of ticks.
Yeah, they're not going to die. I just think there'll be more, though, because everything's so wet. Actually, my experience has been that in the dry years, the ticks are worse. So it'll be a double whammy. Not only has it not been cold enough to kill them off, but...
dry and wet.
Yeah. If this drought continues, who knows? We may be... it's happened in recent years. We had a really miserable May about 3 or 4 years ago, I think. I've got pictures of highway signs plastered with snow and...
Well, I'll remember to laugh about it when that happens because we need something.
Yeah, yeah, we'll welcome it then. If that's the way it has to come, that'd be better than nothing for sure. Some more friends of Richmond's here. Dave says, it's concerning, too, because it's not much snow melt and everything is going to be really dry this summer. Exactly what we've been saying. Brian says he's worried more so, he's just more so worried about the forest fires this summer and the lake being warm and it not having had a chance to cool off. The algae blooms.
Ooh.
Yeah, and Sherry says, I hate it. I love the cold and snow, and it kills off the spiders, which she laughed at. don't want all the spiders killed off.
No.
they serve a purpose, too.
Save the spiders.
Right. Yeah. Let's see. Who shall we hear? Let's hear from the Bayview group again. These are the gang of Bayview residents. Jen, Lillian, Robin, and Cliff is included in this one. Where did I put that folder? Okay, we'll find the folder here in a second. It's got the recorded submissions. And
so we're calling it Listener's Voices instead of KTWH Writers because this is open to anybody, whether you consider yourself to be a writer or not. Perhaps it'll be part of a journey for everybody.
Thank you. Good point. And we're also calling it listeners rather than local voices because you may be a listener but not be local. We welcome your submissions as well. Okay, here's the Bayview Bevy, as I call them.
So, okay, the first winter that I saw here was super cold, ice fishing out on Lake Superior.
Mm-hmm.
Last winter, ice in the harbor, no ice fishing on the lake.
No.
And then
yeah.
This year, nothing.
Okay. Yeah.
So which one of those is typical?
The ice. We've had the ice, yeah. Wouldn't you say so, Cliff?
I would say so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was only one ice house out there. That's a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Then the temperature started changing, so he was smart and got off the lake.
Yeah, because there's been...
ice chunks were... Whoa.
Yeah, because there's a few cars and two houses that was going in the water.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You got to get them off the lake, you know.
Yeah.
Do you ice fish, Cliff?
I don't, years ago, but we used to use a milk stool and then you froze your butt to it. No, I like inland fishing, you know. I've never been on Lake Superior in my life.
You haven't?
I will not get on it.
You missed something.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
You're Bermuda Triangle.
Ah.
Oh.
It can change, bang, just like that.
Yeah, yeah. You can.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But it's beautiful out there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because we used to go skating from the mouth of the river out to the island there in Knife River.
Yeah, our kids did too.
Went skating out on the, you know.
Yeah.
Now you go swimming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I thought the historical context of that was interesting. And the shift from one year to the next, people are reminding us, last year we had a record snowfall, and this year virtually nothing. They did get snow down in the cities, about 6 inches. In fact, our colleague here at the station, Peg, was lucky enough to happen to be there for that snowfall, and she was in Seventh Heaven, I think, but then she had to drive back up here yesterday. We'll have a recording from somebody else who lives down there among that snow a little later in the show. Shall we hear from, how about Judy Sausson made a submission this week.
Judy Sausson. Here are my thoughts about the question. A warmer than quote-unquote normal February with little snow is a very mixed blessing. As a walker, I appreciate not having to deal with snow covered in icy sidewalks and streets. I haven't fallen on the ice at all this winter, unlike previous times. Wearing one or two layers of clothing is easier than having to don 3 to 4 layers. Other animals, such as the numerous deer, foxes, and squirrels with whom we share this city, are also getting around and finding food more easily. Looking at the bigger picture, however, smaller animals, mice, moles, voles, depend on snow cover for protection from predators. Where to hide when there is no snow? Plants may suffer from drought as they are deprived of moisture from snow melt. Farmers begin spring planting. Will they find the soil too dry and need to do more watering? Unless we have overwhelming April showers, this may raise the cost of food. Eventually, nature adapts and evolves, but unless we humans also begin changing our lifestyles to slow down climate change, the earth and all of us creatures will go through more challenging times.
Thank you, Judy. That's the truth. We have some mixed responses to this, but it does come down more on the negative or at least apprehensive side of the...
I don't know if anybody can afford to not be apprehensive with things being so unpredictable and no participation on the horizon.
Some people are totally... good with
okay
it.
With that.
Let's see. I don't know if I can pull an example.
Can we enjoy it?
Right. We did have a very positive one from Michelle Anderson last week. If we get too depressed by the end of the show, we might bring that one up again to share. Let's see. Let's have another recording here. These are a couple more friends of Richmond's, and then I think we'll hear from Richmond himself. So, first, this is Jeff, and then he'll be followed by John.
What do you think of this exceptional winter?
I think it's been lovely. I am disappointed that there is no outdoor ice. I wanted to take my little buddy skating, and I still want to take him skating. That's the only negative I can think of. I think this is the first year I can remember that it hasn't had ice outside. I do need some exercise, so I haven't really gotten out to enjoy the nice weather. But I would like to see some more snow. Other than that, it seems to be warmer now. My car didn't start for a week in the cold snap. That's all I got.
All right, what do you think of this exceptional winter?
It's been livable. It's decent.
Okay.
I've been able to get outside, and it's
yeah, it's been, doesn't feel like it's been such a long winter.
Okay.
It's okay. It's good winter.
Good weather.
Yeah, good weather.
All right.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
I apologize if I got those names turned around. I confused myself now. I had intended to play the other one first, but there was a positive attitude there from whether that was Jeff or John. That was the two of them. And here's Richmond himself with his own, expressing his own thoughts.
What do I think of this exceptional Minnesota winter? Well, not much. I think that it's comfortable. I think that, there's no ice on the roads. That makes things easier for folks. No ice on the sidewalks. But all in all, it's bad for the economy of Two Harbors. The snowmobilers, the skiers. I love winter. I love the snow. I love the polar vortex. It's these weather extremes that make Minnesota, Minnesota. And these weather extremes also keep the invasive species, pests in check, like algae blooms on the lake. The lake is getting warmer. Or what about those tamarack forests? There's some pests that I've heard that wouldn't be around if we had these typical Minnesota cold winters. These pests might be killed off or slowed down in their tracks. Well, let's see. I think that all the flora and fauna are affected up and down the shore in negative ways eventually. So though we may find comfort in these warmer temperatures, in the long run, it does not bode well for nature, of which we are a part.
Thank you, Richmond. Well, we don't have a lot of to counter that. Thank you for summing it up. But in poetic form, it comes across a little more gently. Francis is going to share a poem in a verse form, anyway, from Barb Luukkonen.
I don't know about how much more gently this is. Barb Luukkonen, and she uses the term subnivian, which means under the snow. And it goes, disappointment. No snowshoes, no skis, cloudy skies. Few tracks. Little hoarfrost, no grouse exploding from snowbanks. No snowy enough for you? Distress, invasive species, fewer berries, subnivian apocalypse, drought and wildfires, struggling businesses, no joy of winter. Despair, changed climate, global tentacles, no will to change our destruction in the biosphere. Sapien hubris. Okay. Upside. Less shoveling, no icy roads. Fewer slips and falls. Tennis shoes for not too cold morning walks. Fewer visitors in town. That's all. Human ease in exchange for ecological despair. A poor bargain.
Well put, Barb. I happen to be familiar with the word subnivian because of a senior project I did. My senior thesis, I guess, in my biology program at UMD was all about ecology of snow. Luckily, happily, well, somewhat happily, I guess, in my neighborhood, I'm about 12 miles away from the lake as the crow flies, and up about 1,000 feet above the lake level. I have about 4 inches of snow on the ground there still. It makes it rough for the grouse, all right. There are a lot of grouse around. Right now I'm seeing grouse tracks all the time, and they usually burrow into the snow to sleep and then will come bursting out if they happen to have the poor luck to choose a sleeping site right next to my trail and they sense me approaching. They'll wait till you're almost right alongside them and then burst out of the snow and scare the heck out of you. But I don't know what they're doing now. 4 inches isn't really enough to bury a grouse in snow. But the small mammals are doing okay. I see their little trails going across my pack trail, which will be, you know, a couple inches below the level of 4 inches. And when they want to get from one side of the trail to the other, they have these cute little holes, one on each side of the trail, and their little tracks going back and forth. And I visualize them visiting each other, going back and forth. That is subnivian living. And the very small mammals might be doing okay. If we had another cold spell, though, it would be rough on them as well. Let's see whom to hear from next here. I'm going to read Courtney Olson, new contributor. Well, almost everybody's a new contributor at this point. What do you think about this exceptional winter we're having, for better or worse? As I gaze out of my crystal clear window, remembering last year, I couldn't even see out of my window. I think to myself, is spring going to come early? This is unpredictable Minnesota, though. Will we experience a ton of snow out of the blue? I feel perplexed by the way this winter is behaving, like an angry toddler who does not know what they will want. I feel content with not as much snow as long as it does not get very cold. Otherwise, we don't have that insulation we need for our homes. Winter or spring? Mother Nature, please decide.
If we knew that it was all going to be normal again next year, would we be okay with it this year? Is it the not knowing?
Right. That's, I think, a big part of it, because the trend is not going well. It's pretty whiplash one year to the next, from last year to this year.
Yes.
Yeah. But overall, what is it, since the 1970s, our winter temperatures, I misspoke last week. I realized listening to the recording, I didn't listen to the whole recording. I'm not that much focused on this, but I said the temperature, our average winter temperature had increased 3 degrees, but it's 5 degrees, which is a lot when you think about how concerned we all are about the global temperature increasing, 1.5 degrees, that's Celsius, but still 5 degrees Fahrenheit increase in our temperature over the years is a huge difference. Also a concerning thing, I might get to this later in reading from a blog of Kenny Blumenfeld, a climatologist, we are getting normalized to this. It doesn't take long to think, well, this is pretty comfortable. Yeah, I wish we had the snow and the cold, but I mentioned last week some of the advantages for my day-to-day life. Much as I would be thrilled to give them up in exchange for a good load of snow, there are certain advantages, and once we get back, even if temporarily, to a really good winter, and I'll be snowshoeing again from the cabin to the car, and
you hope,
yeah, and so forth. But I'll notice, the normalization thing is kind of scary.
I don't know how quickly that can change. I think there's generations of it built into the people here
that we're not going to just get comfortable with it.
No,
and yeah, because it is pretty. It's not universal, but nearly. It's
what I came for. I hope
right.
It materializes.
Yeah, and don't get discouraged by this one year.
No.
I'm glad you were here for last year, so you know what it can be. Let's see. We've got more recordings here, and I think we'll maybe play this anonymous one. A voice you might recognize, but here's this one.
No, you won't recognize who this is.
The prompt this week was to respond to this winter's exceptional weather, and there was a lot of talk about whether responses were positive or negative. Could we gain some clarity using a traditional pro-con list, which I suppose is easily tweaked into a positive-negative list? Here are some items to consider on each side of a positive-negative ledger. Positive, rain in January. A good thing if it breaks a drought and nurtures the trees, which absorb CO2 and help fight climate change. But the negative is rain in January mostly runs off over frozen ground, melts snow that critters and humans need, and can hurt trees by exposing the roots to cold. On the positive, There are so many overnight lows since November that have been above 0 degrees Celsius. That's the freezing point. That's positive, at least math-wise, and as it keeps frost off your windshield, it also makes your porch a better refrigerator where stuff won't freeze. It's great for keeping the beer cold and not solid. But on the negative, the many high overnight low temperatures that we've seen this winter are a welcome mat for invasive species that can't otherwise survive our historic average coldest seasonal overnight temps in northern Minnesota. But most nights this winter have seen overnight temps as much as 30, 40, or more degrees Fahrenheit higher than the temps that we need to preserve the boreal forest habitat and to deter invasive plants and insects from thriving. We don't just need one night at 25 to 30 degrees below zero to do that. We need a rather high number of hours at really cold temperatures to make a difference. And this year, at least, we have rarely, maybe never, gotten the positive ecological reinforcement that some very negative winter temperatures have been able to maintain in the North Woods for thousands of years. So there it is, positives and negatives, the realities on the ground and the losses we are coming to terms with as this winter invites us to imagine the winters yet to come.
Thank you, Mr. Anonymous. Trying to interject a little balance here, but it's pretty tough. Here's a different angle. I see a couple of our students from the Youth Radio Initiative, including impact on winter sports. Them.
You know, I really think that this winter actually is very interesting. It's definitely something different, something new. Probably maybe climate change is playing a part in this warmer weather, or it could be part of El Nino, and we have yet to see more about that. I know there's a lot of research into that and how El Nino affects the warmer weather and giving, you know, other states colder weather. And it's just really cool, but I hope we do return to a much colder, snowier winter in the future for snowboarding and outdoor reasons.
So first, you can't call it winter, because it's not really winter. Well, I guess now it's getting colder, but I think I was really disappointed with it because I switched from hockey to skiing this year. So I only actually skied in 2 or 3 ski meets because I sat out the first couple. And our home meet up at Corky, the practice track, had a lot of grass. It was really disappointing to see. You can blame it on whatever you want. Some people might say it's climate change. I don't know. It was really disappointing to see. And there should still be feet of snow on the ground. My birthday is in May. And there have been some years where it's been mud season. There's been some years where there's been snow. There's been some years where it's just really yucky and disappointing, and I don't want to celebrate my birthday because the weather is so weird. So this year, I'll actually be able to do something outside more than I have in the past. It was warmer last year, too. Like, a couple years ago, my birthday party, we went to the driving range at the golf course, and it was just super muddy and wet and disgusting. But I'd rather have freezing cold than weather like this in February.
Yep, me too. So that, I believe I have the names in right order. That was Zach and followed by Eli. And if that piqued your curiosity, we have a youth radio initiative here. Kids come on Friday mornings. Since we have the great fortune in this area, our school district has a 4-day school week, and they can spend their Friday mornings here at the radio station if they like, from I think it's 9:30 to noon or so. And once a month, they produce a show, and otherwise they help us out with community events and things like that. So you can call the station here during the week, especially afternoons, 218-595-6195. Just a little plug there for the kids. And I thought they presented themselves very well there with their mixed and disappointed feelings. Moving along here, we've got two more recorded messages sent in, and then I'll share some from Kenny Blumenfeld's blog of the week on this subject. Take heart, we are going to change the prompt for next week. You'll hear more about that later, and it's something that you should be able to have fun with. But first, we were looking for creative, we were lamenting that we didn't have creative responses to this prompt. And here is the one that showed up just shortly after we talked about that.
My name is Kelly Miner, and I wrote this original poem for the weekly prompt for listeners' voices. Fall's approach warns of winter's gaze. Northland souls brace, prepare, and praise. Winter's rest casts gray, slow pace, offering repose through dark, endless days. Make ready, draw up, compose, hurry's respite, bated breath as temperatures plummet. The pause, the wait, the anticipation, a small knock building, acceptance to appreciation. But what when snowflakes fail to blanket? Wasted days awaiting world's gracious gambit. When birds confused sing January's spring applaud, will our spirit be dismayed or embrace all the awe?
Thank you so much, Kelly. She's a new volunteer here working on a program that may be coming to our airwaves soon this spring.
I look forward to it.
Yeah. And another very thoughtful response, not in verse form, but this comes from Terry McNamara. She lives down in Robbinsdale, Minnesota, but she has strong ties to a couple of locations up in our listening footprint, as a matter of fact, to a place she's very familiar with, up the Drummond Grade, as well as a family member over in Ulu, Wisconsin, where you can reach our radio signal, or of course we stream everywhere, ktwh.org. She was lucky enough to experience that 6-inch snowfall in this last week, and she submitted this recording not long after that.
This unseasonable winter has been a roller coaster ride of emotions as well as temperatures. After a typical January week with temps below zero, it's easy to be thrilled by a surge into the 50s, but I'm haunted by the climate implications of this persistently warm winter. Will trees or shrubs bud too early with this warm trend and get taken by another typical temperature week? Or will this warm winter prevent some of our native flora from being able to complete its usual cycle of rest and rebirth? Will the early start and growth reduce the resiliency of any of these plants or creatures as we head into the strains of this summer, be they heat or storms or drought? And selfishly, I miss the gifts of winter. I don't know if I'll get to snowshoe at all this winter. I miss the beauty of snowdrifts and cardinals sitting on snow-covered branches. The serenity of a snow-covered scene enhances the restfulness of winter, the reprieve and the rhythm of the year as we snuggle inside on cold nights. I especially miss winter nights with starlight and moonlight reflecting off the snow to bring a magical light to the darkest hours. So this respite from a typical winter has certainly made my heart grow fonder for the realities of winter. Last night's snow had us almost giddy with delight at the beauty of the snow falling and blanketing everything with its downy coat. So even as I head out to shovel, I feel committed to relishing this winter rather than resenting it, as I might be in a more typical February.
Thank you, Terry. Not written in verse, but very poetic in your expression. We appreciate that. So I will, lastly, winding up this subject, I will share with you some of this. I'm considering this Kenny Blumenfeld's submission to our prompt, even though he's not aware of the program. Well, he is aware of the program, actually, because I asked his permission to use an excerpt. So Kenny Blumenfeld is the DNR climatologist that we hear from every Friday morning. Kati interviews him, not about climatology so much, although they certainly can't avoid touching on that, but he likes to talk meteorology as well, the weather week to week, and gives us an idea of what to expect. I learned from listening to that he has a newsletter he sends out sporadically, and one came this week. And he titled it, it's also after their snowfall down there, I guess. The title of it is One of the Biggest Snows of the Year. and then in parentheses, not a major accomplishment. In fact, I think, well, we had 7 or 8 inches on Halloween. This was the biggest snow they had in the city since Halloween also, but I think they didn't even get that much. So 6 inches was a record for the year for them. And I won't read it all, but he does say that it, of course, talks about what an unusually warm month as well, all 3 months, but especially December and February were exceptionally warm. And he says it is distinctly possible that we will end February as warm or warmer than we began it. Continental cyclones have been rarer in the region this winter, so this one will be a collector's item, never mind its low mid-range intensity. We're desperate and bored. I guess this was maybe right before the storm he was predicting it. Then he says, I've heard lots of climate confessions this winter. I'm worried about this weather, but I must admit, whispering, I kind of like it. Or, I have to say, I haven't missed slipping all over or shoveling every few days. I, too, have enjoyed the benefits of having 12 different 50-degree days, he's down in the cities, of course, a January thaw still going on in the middle of February, and having 85% of the days be warmer than normal. I think that started in December, anyway. But I do miss the snow. There's been less of it to date than any year out of the 140 in the Twin Cities, and it's been among the most snowless on record in many other places. I expect cold, know how to get through it, and of course respect the vital role it plays in maintaining our ecological wellness. But snow makes winter come alive. It not only creates cold, it gives it meaning and purpose. Then later on in his letter, we're supposed to have snow on the ground, and most of us have gone so long with any, without any, that it seems normal. But watch, if we have the chance, how even a faint snow cover transforms the land and restores its dignity. A thicker blanket of snow makes it whole. So I also want to make you aware of, if you are a winter fan, as so many of our submitters here are, Kenny Blumenfeld also produced, along with a photographer about 10 years ago, they made a video called The Story of Winter, Minnesota's Iconic Season, I believe is the subtitle. It's on YouTube. You do have to search for more than just the story of winter. There are a lot of results come up, but if you add Minnesota and iconic, you should go right to it, and I recommend it. Okay, have we pretty much covered this subject, do you think?
I don't know if we're going to have exhausted it as it keeps on going, but if people still feel the need to express themselves over whatever happens, I'm sure we'll allow continued submissions. But shall we move on?
We'll move on, but we'll have this little transition. This is a fun recording. We'll just play some of it of some kids at the Toronto Zoo.
Yes.
And you won't have any trouble figuring out what they are mimicking here. Let's see. I think I have it called up here. I hope this is the right one. We'll see. One thing I really liked about that was the realisticness of it, that getting, that's just exactly the way it happens. They'll howl for a little bit, and then it'll be quiet, and you'll wait and wait and wonder if they're going to do it again. And then they gradually, and then get into it again. And whoever was directing those kids did a good job.
That was so much fun.
Yeah. That's from the APORE site. We've talked of many times here now, APORE.org. Thousands of sounds from around the world. And
how did you find that one?
That one, good question.
Toronto wolves?
Well, that's how you would get
kids
back
calling.
To it. Yeah, but I didn't just think of searching for that in the first place. But if you wanted to find it, you could. They have a search box, and that's we're finding lots of fun things that way. And but the first time, maybe I put in wolves. I'm not sure. I bet
that's a gem. That's a real gem.
Yep, that's a keeper. Right. So much for winter. We're going to launch into the next prompt. We could play a little winter interlude, but I don't want to lose the listeners. They might stray away, and they really want to hear how are we going to get out of this rut. So the prompt for next week, let's see, where have I actually...
And if you have any great ideas for prompts, please send them in. We're interested in hearing what you want to write about.
Absolutely. That's the KTWH writers at gmail.com. That's where you'd send it in. And as regarding your potential submissions in the future, as you may have heard, we had an anonymous submission this week. You are more than welcome to submit either with a pseudonym or just anonymously. And you might have to divulge your identity to get it to us unless you put it in letter without a return address. You're welcome to do that. Our post office box is 622 here in Two Harbors. Or slide it under our door, walk it into the studio here. We're in the Harbor Landing building.
We can be trusted with anonymity if you so feel the need.
Absolutely. As we've pointed out at the beginning, you don't have to think of yourself as a writer. And you can tell from our various submissions, some people are writers and others maybe never thought of themselves that way. But just off the cuff, responses to the prompts are welcome. They don't have to be refined or...
Nor practiced. I really am thinking about trying my hand at poetry, which just sounds a little bit absurd, but it's very inspiring. So give it a try.
Right. Yep. Yeah. I really enjoyed the especially creative submissions we had this week. So next week, I was going to look, see where I have, if I have this written out. Anyway, the point of it is to share a song with us, not the whole song, but your, what you would consider to be your song. A song that maybe you've always identified with, something that speaks to you or possibly could serve to introduce you to a stranger. Or maybe it just expresses a philosophy or attitude that you particularly resonate with. And we got this idea from the KGUA Writers Program. That was their response that people responded to last Monday, I think.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. We're not yet sure when we'll be repeating that whole episode, but it is on SoundCloud now. And if you wanted to hear the whole episode, see what kinds of ideas people express, or you maybe don't need that for your inspiration, but just to hear what other people say, go to SoundCloud.com, put in KGUA.
I think of this topic as something that you could have multiple responses to. Not everybody thinks of having their own theme song, but every one of us loves a song or identifies with something. Maybe it's motivational under certain circumstances or something that, like you say, would introduce you if you were to do a TED Talk. So what would your song be and why? And what are the words that really evoke a response in you?
Right. And assuming we'll have some time left, we'll try to play little excerpts from many, if not all, of the songs that come up in the course of these submissions. And we have time to play. Actually, I'll play an excerpt from the KGUA show that shared Michelle Miller's, our morning show host on Thursdays here, a longtime volunteer with the station. She made a submission to that prompt, as did I. So we'll play those in a couple minutes here to give you an idea of what, but they certainly go wherever you want with it. And then we may even have a chance to play the whole songs that we refer to or parts of them. The SoundCloud episode that is this entire song episode, if you put in KGUA and the number 175, they are in their 175th episode of their show. Started at the beginning of COVID to give people something to do when they were isolated at home and to connect with each other over the airwaves. So they have, I think all of their episodes are archived there. So take it away, have fun with that. This is an excerpt from the KGUA Writers Program responding to the prompt, My Song. And we'll hear Michelle Miller here, followed by yours truly.
I like to read a couple from our friends in Two Harbor, Minnesota, Michelle Miller. In 1993, I heard a song on the radio that instantly grabbed my attention. Once it was over, I needed to hear it again, like right now. I felt like I didn't hear it at all. There was more to the story. I turned to my boyfriend at the time and said, "Did you hear that? Oh my God." He replied with a sort of distracted, "Yeah, Stevie Ray Vaughan. Like everyone knew that song." Well, apparently, just about everybody did, but me. I was raised with exposure and appreciation to a variety of music. It had consistently been a huge piece of my life. How did I manage to make it 26 years without knowing who that was and not experience one of the greatest songs ever? The song was Life by the Drop and changed my whole perception of what music can do at a very visceral level. Hello there, my old friend. God, it's good to be here walking together again. The vocals, the rawness of the delivery, the simple beat that sets up each line, pure genius. This song always gets played twice, maybe even three times, when I have the control to do so. It does have more to the story, and it will play on as one of my most inspirational songs I ever heard. Thank you, Michelle, out in Two Harbors, KTWH. That is Broadcasting Weekly, KGUA Writers, bridging the communities together. And also from Minnesota, Fran Kelleher. Two candidates came to mind after just a little thought. Gordon Bach's Brandy Tree, also known as the Other Song, and a song I learned probably as a sixth grader at camp. The Brandy Tree may not be familiar to many. I suggest you Google it with Gordon Bach's name, B-O-K. There are a couple of things about it that charm me. It starts out, I go down to the brandy tree, take my nose and my tail with me. How can one help but be endeared to the song already? Basically, it's a celebration of life. Otters exude irrepressible joie de vivre. Anyone who has been able to spend much time observing otters, as I have been fortunate to do, knows that. I'm talking river otters. Not so much the sea otters out floating on their backs, but certainly they have their charm too. But besides its enthusiastic endorsement of an active and joy-filled life, it also conveys a mutual respect with other life forms and an acceptance of one's ultimate departure from this realm. Someday I'll hear the shepherd call for me, call me to leave my happy ways and the shining world I know. The otter acknowledges, my days have all been free, and he accepts this fate with equanimity. The second song I know now is also about anticipating death, or, as originally written, about one's death. I learned it at camp, which might seem strange, but some of the words were changed. It is mostly the words of Robert Louis Stevenson's poem, Requiem. I probably learned it at the camp in Oregon, where we spent a night on the sandy seashore under open skies, and the stars were the brightest I have ever seen them, even in all the decades since. It starts under a wide and starry sky, but the camp version then says, make my bed and let me lie, instead of dig my grave and let me lie. And glad do I live and gladly die, not glad did I live. The sailor is home for the sea, the hunter home from the hill. I took to mean just a feeling of retirement and calm at the end of the day under the starry sky. I love that song, and its message of composure, contentment, and acceptance, come what may. Thank you, Fran. And I find it really awesome that all this music, all those lyrics are bringing us outside into action and feeling, and every sense is being touched. And maybe that's what music does, is touch all of our senses.
So that was Mark Sanford Gross from the KGUA program. And we hope next week to have time to share at least snippets of the songs that people mention in their responses. So we encourage you to share whatever song, whatever, for whatever reason you want to. You might not think that it identifies you, but so there's some particular reason, something you can say about it to us. So anything to add to that, Frances?
I've just the number of songs just swimming around inside my head. The difficulty will be to narrow it down.
Right.
But yeah. Whatever it comes to you, whatever you think of, let's hear it.
Right. It was the idea was inspired by Mark Gross listening to the Grammy Awards and hearing Judy Collins sing Both Sides Now. And that's one I think a lot of people, that's a memorable song. If you were young when that came out, it stuck with you, and that's what he kind of considers one of his songs. So that's inspired the idea of that prompt.